This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. Now, one thing about God bringing the Jews home. When they were not at home, the Bible says the land would lay waste. It wouldn't produce for those that were not its rightful owners, but that when they came back, there would be blessing. Now, we're of a group of people who believe that God wants to bless you, and that that blessing includes his blessing, he makes you prosper. And so would you address this a little bit for us?
Yeah, well, you mentioned this it's from the book, I believe from the book of Leviticus, where it mentions the curses that befall the Jewish people. And one of the lines in the Bible says that the land will not bear and produce its fruit. And many of the Jewish commentators understand that to mean that's not actually a curse, but that's a blessing. That the land will not respond to anyone. It will be a barren, desolate land. As we know, Mark Twain visited the land in 1861, and he writes that this land, he couldn't believe that it was called a blessed land. It was so barren and so empty and so desolate. But somehow, miraculously, with God's will, when the Jewish people returned, the land suddenly started to bloom and to blossom. And it's just exceptional. And I want to tell you two things about that. First of all, imagine if the Indians, I believe they sold the state of New York for $26. Manhattan Island was sold for $26. Now imagine they came back and they said, we'll buy the land, we want the land back, and we'll let you double your money. We'll give you $52. And they would laugh, you know. Mayor Bloomberg wouldn't sell it. They said, okay, we'll give you $1 million. We'll give you $1 billion. There's no number you could put on it. Now, imagine, though, that if New York City was completely desolate and someone said, we'll give you $1 million, they would have said, take it. Now, understand what I'm saying here. The fact that God caused the land to be desolate was the greatest blessing for the Jewish people. Because if it would have prospered, what would have happened? The British, no one would have given the land back to the Jewish people. They gave us a piece of land that was empty. The same way, they would never give Manhattan back to the Indians, because look what Manhattan is now. So because God's quote-unquote cursed the land that it would not produce, that was, for us, the Jewish people, was the greatest blessing. Because nobody wanted it. It was a desolate piece of land. The second thing I want to tell you, an unbelievable story. Before 1948, and the State of Israel was declared, there were a number of what's called partition plans, where the UN put forth plans to divide what was called Palestine at the time between the Jews and the Arabs. The first two plans in 1936 and 37, which were put forth by the Peel Commission and the Woodhead Commission, basically did not include the desert, which is the Negev area in Israel, the south, in the Jewish section of the land. The 1947, the final plan, did. The question is, what happened? Why suddenly was the desert given to the Jewish people? And the story is, it's a true story, UNSCOP, which is the United Nations Special Committee on Palestine, sent a fact-finding mission to Israel, and they were to meet... Well, it was Palestine to Palestine. They were to meet with the Arabs and the Jews. The Arabs refused to meet with them, but the Jews did. And they took them to the desert, to the south, to a place called Rivivim, which was a brand new settlement, maybe 3 years old. And those who were living in Rivivim brought to the UNSCOP committee, they brought them gladiola, a bunch of beautiful flowers. And the committee member said, where did you get these? They're so beautiful. And they said, oh, we grew them right here. And the committee member says, what do you mean you grew them here? Things don't grow in the desert. This is sand. And they said, no, come, we'll show you. They brought them out to the field, and they saw this beautiful, in the desert, a field filled with colorful, beautiful flowers. And the UNSCOP, the UN members, couldn't believe it. So they went out and started to pull them out of the ground, thinking that these settlers in this kibbutz just stuck them in the ground as a scam, trying to trick them. They couldn't believe that they're actually growing. They actually uprooted them to make sure it was real. And the UN members said that any people that can get the desert to bloom, they deserve the desert. And in 1947, the whole map was changed, and the Negev was given. I mean, it's like a third of the country now was given to the Jewish people. And our first prime minister, David Ben-Gurion, moved there in 1953 because he felt that it was the greatest place where we could demonstrate this incredible, you know, if you call it Jewish ingenuity or you call it the hand of God, right? That was the place. And he wanted to settle the desert and make the desert bloom.
And because this, the word says so.
Exactly. This is the manifest sign of the return. This is the manifest sign of God's will, seeing the desert bloom. Now, I invite all the listeners to come and visit. And I want you to bring a copy of Mark Twain with you from 1860.
Innocence Abroad.
And read it. And you'll say, this is not the same country that Mark Twain was in. It is a green. Israel is the only country in the world, including the United States, that left the 20th century with more trees than it started at the beginning of the 20th century. Israel is a country filled with trees, and it's blooming. It's beautiful. We had a terrible fire in the Carmel, but we've replaced much of those
trees. And those trees were... The Romans came through, the armies came through, they cut them down, goats ate the top of them.
Correct. Josephus tells us that the Romans uprooted all the trees.
They uprooted all the trees. Now, here is what the Bible says. We have to always go to what the Bible says.
That's right.
And so it's actually the prophecy itself begins in Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fall, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. And that is the prophecy that literally came true. And that we see when we go to the land of Israel now, the prosperity that's on that land. You know, as you said, that land was for 400 years owned by the Ottoman Turks. And it was not developed at all. Often absentee landowners owned the land. And the people who lived there were very poor people. The Jews did not come in and push people out. And they bought. The Rothschilds bought much of the swamp area up around the Galilee. But that land has only prospered since the Jews have been back because they are the rightful owners. Now, the Bible talks about.
Yeah, look, Jews, we're not known as farmers. I could tell you.
No, you were not farmers in the diaspora.
Yeah, not at all. But
you weren't allowed to own lands in the diaspora.
Right.
And so you became merchants. But when you came back home to the land, you came back and you farmed it and it grew and all that the Bible says about it came true. And but the Bible does say that you will have strangers within your gates. And when you come back to the land, if those strangers within your gates will acknowledge that God, that you own the land rightfully, and they will acknowledge that, then they will prosper. The prosperity is on them if they recognize you. If they don't recognize you and they fight you coming back, then that brings them into judgment. And so that's why we should not encourage them to do so.
Right. That's a very important point. Because I don't want any of the listeners to get the feeling that we as Jews living in the land of Israel think we're an exclusive club. Anyone can join us and live in the land of Israel. Anyone, you know, is willing to participate in the prosperity of the land. You know, and as we know, the Bible says in the end of days that it's ki beiti beit tefilah yikarei lechol ha'amim, which means that the house of the Lord will be the house for all nations. And we don't, you know, and maybe this is a touchy subject a little bit, we don't actively ever proselytize. We don't believe that anyone has to become Jewish to receive God's blessing. And, you know, we just want the world to support us, and we'll support the world in whatever way that we can. And the prosperity in Israel has been extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
It's just extraordinary. Although I cannot grow a garden, I have to tell you. while everyone seems to be prospering, my watermelon patch is not working out.
But you do live very close to where they sell those big grapes.
I do. There are grapes all over. And, you know, it's amazing. There's a right on my street is the owner of the winery right in my area. It's beautiful grapes, and this was an ancient, you know, in the hills of Judea was wine country.
You know, we went to Gush Katif. We went to Gaza.
Yeah.
When the Jews were living there, And we were in all those beautiful hothouses.
The greenhouses, yeah.
Oh, greenhouses. And we saw the most amazing. We tasted celery. We tasted that they grew out of buckets of sand.
Yeah.
And it looked, as you'd look down these greenhouses, like you were looking at mile after mile.
Peppers and guava. I mean, everything they were growing.
Peppers and flowers.
And lettuce and all kinds of.
And they were filling the face of the earth. They were mainly shipping that, exporting that.
Right.
And then when they were pushed out, and it was turned over to others, they have not been able to grow.
It's back to sand.
It's back to sand.
Well, you know, not only did they not grow, and you know, you saw images of it on the news. They came and destroyed the hothouses.
Somebody bought those hothouses for them
and leveled them.
And they leveled them.
They leveled them. And just flattened them back to sand again.
Back to sand again. It's just the proof right in front of your eyes.
Right.
That it's only going to prosper. That land is only going to prosper. He didn't give them all the land in the world.
Right. It's a small piece of land.
A small piece of land. But what he gave you, he gave you.
You know, and economically, Israel's just exploding. I mean, it's the prosperity is really amazing. You know, and the incredible downturn in the real estate here and the economy, Israel didn't go through that.
The housing market there is going upward through the roof.
Yeah.
And they say that it's very strong and very stable.
Yeah, it's extremely stable.
And so things should not be happening like they're happening there. It's like if God's blessing is upon you, you could be in a world that's dark, but the blessing of the Lord will be seen. There was light in the land of Goshen.
Mm-hmm.
And there is light on the economy right now. Of course, we believe that God wants to prosper you and wants to prosper his people and takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And I know that he's taking pleasure in what's happening there,
yes.
The children playing and so on.
You mentioned before the prophecy of the dry bones. So in the prophecy, first the flesh returns,
yes.
And then the spirit returns. So we believe that that is what is unfolding. We're seeing the prosperity is the flesh returning to the bones, and you see the color coming back to the cheeks, the rosy cheeks, and then the spirit returns. And we're seeing that as well. They just, in the latest polls in Israel, that more and more Israelis are coming closer to religion and to God.
After they've been out there in secularism.
That came out like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Poll.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad to hear it. And away from, well,
yeah.
Many things of the Holocaust even brought about Jews to doubt God.
Right, right.
But they're coming back to a belief in God.
Yeah, I know we only have a couple seconds, but one of the great rabbis who survived the Holocaust said that believing that God can split the Red Sea is no miracle, but believing in God after the Holocaust, that is the greatest miracle.
Oh, my. And that's coming then to fruition right
yeah.
now. It's coming as people
yeah,
come close
exactly.
to the book. And so now tomorrow we're going to look at the just Jews and Christians thing again. We're going to have Tom and Shelley on and how they met with you and how you came into their lives. And so this is Billy Brim and Rabbi Moshe Rothschild saying, until tomorrow, shalom, shalom. Be back with us then.